Good afternoon, everyone. As you can see, I'm not Glenn Mays. I'm Michael Morris, and I'll be filling in for Glenn, moderating to this afternoon's session on critical issues in public health finance. And we have a very diverse panel today. Two presentations will be from local public health practitioners and two from academic researchers. So we'll be looking at a wide array of issues as well, ranging from costs of vaccination programs to funding formulas to partnership structures influence on public health systems finance. Leading us off today will be Kurt Egbrecht from the Appleton Health Department in Wisconsin. He is the city health officer. Prior to joining the health department, he ran health promotion services for the University of Wisconsin College of the Medical College of Wisconsin. I always get those confused. But also, he'll be joined by a colleague, Laura Suave Asave, from the Barron County Department of Health there in Wisconsin as well. She was a 2008 recipient of the Wisconsin Florence Nightingale Award and has broad experience working with public health collaborative efforts and is engaged with the Barron County Safe and Stable Families Coalition. And Mr. Egbrecht?
Well, good afternoon, and thank you for choosing our session today. We're excited to be here and talk about a program that we both participated in. It's called the Healthy Wisconsin Leadership Institute. And before we begin, we've been asked to just let everyone know we have no vested interest in this program, and therefore we have no disclosures to release as part of the format. So what we hope to accomplish in the little time we have together is just tell you a little bit about the background of the Healthy Wisconsin Leadership Institute, how it came about, talk specifically about the community teams and about the content that we learned throughout the year as a member of those community teams. We'll talk a little bit about the early results from the teams themselves, and then we hope to spend time giving you some examples of projects that have been implemented. And I don't know if any of you did or if you're interested, but in the section you'll find that there's a handout that you can link on to this session that'll tell you all the community programs that were accomplished across the state. And so if you have a specific area of interest, that would be a neat contact to make. So the Healthy Wisconsin Leadership Institute, it really is, I believe, an innovative approach to addressing complex health issues where the emphasis is not only strengthening local public health and governmental health agencies, but really the partners that we all work with. So the key stakeholders within our communities are really the people who are invited and encouraged to participate in this event. It really started back in 2005 where there was an assessment in our state about what are the community health education and training initiatives that are going across the state. And the two medical schools came together. The Medical College of Wisconsin is located in Milwaukee, and the UW University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health is located in Madison. And so they are the ones who really created this Healthy Wisconsin Learning Institute. And since that time, there's been about 1,000 people who have participated in the program and 35 community teams. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. Well, the community teams is really an intensive year-long training program that has been created by the Institute. And the target audience is really current and future leaders of healthcare systems, governmental public health representatives, academic organizations, healthcare providers are often participants, policymakers, so elected officials often participate, and then the media. And the thought behind is if people can come together from these disciplines, it forms a nice nucleus within their communities to begin community interventions. So what it is and how it begins is you have to agree to do a year-long commitment, and you need to get your organizational support to do that because there is a significant amount of time that you'll commit to the process. So the folks from the Institute will come to your community and they'll do an orientation and kind of set the expectations of what you'll be going through. And that really is the pre-enrollment and orientation process. And then throughout the year, there's several workshops, two-day workshops, where you'll come as community teams from across the state and you'll go through some content learning, if you will. And, you know, for me as a participant, that was some of the best time because you're in a car with people in your community. And how often do we sit in our offices and we talk to folks on the phone or you get together for a monthly coalition meeting? But when you can drive 2 hours in a car and you have an overnight, you can really get down to some of the real conversations that have to occur. In between those meetings, then, there's online training sessions. So you're linked up to the universities. You learn a lot about the webinars and distance-based learning. And through this process, you're also expected and nurtured to create and implement a community team. And so your team that's assembled works together to create something of betterment within your community. Some of the content is covered here, and these are, again, are primarily done through those two-day workshops, where building and maintaining strong partnerships is a big emphasis of what the program is about. And we learned about the difference between networking together or partnerships and then true collaboration. And that's really important because you begin to go back in your communities and understand how you can better articulate, look, we really want to do this collaboratively. We all have to work at this together and have skin in the game, if you will. Emphasis on policy and the importance of that. Environmental systems and approaches. Evidence-based public health, and we don't have time today to digress, but if you have interest, if you Google ways to work, it's a really neat, concise area that shows evidence-based best practices through the University Population Health Institute. And so a lot of the research that's been done through peer review is kind of summarized for you by topic, and that was very helpful to our teams. We get into a lot of project planning, implementation, and evaluation. And through that process, as a community team, you learn about consensus around writing SMART objectives and putting logic models together. And that all is a really good framework for then going after grants. So once your project is completed and you're already learning those tools, you have a really nice framework to find other sources of funding as well. Part of the program is talking about communicating and messaging to the public and the groups that you most want to target. Spend a lot of time on inclusiveness, and as public health professionals, we know we don't do things for people, we do things with people. So we talk about how you do that and strategies to accomplish that. Grantsmanship, they have sessions that tell you who is most likely going to fund the area of interest that you have. So it helps you better understand of all the grant dollars out there, how do you match your line, how do you align your project with the grants that are available. And then sustainability. How do you maintain your project that you want to do purposefully so you don't hope it continues at the end of your work, but rather you plan for that, and that's part of your action plan that you're working on. So that's some of the skill set that goes on throughout the course of the year. What this is just a snapshot in time, but the first couple of years of the community teams, there was some follow-up, and what we found is that going through the year-long process, it actually expanded professional roles and responsibilities. So their status in their own communities was elevated. And I use the word communities because many of the teams come from specific regions or towns. But there's also statewide coalitions that enter into this program and participate as well. You know, strengthening partnerships, as we talked earlier, most 90% indicated that certainly happened. Increasing media coverage, increased grant funding. More than 50% found additional dollars as a result of participating. And then expansion of preventive services and programs. So the program continues to build. This past year, there are 15 teams that applied to become a part of this, and that's the most that we've had to date. So that's a very quick overview of the Healthy Wisconsin Leadership Institute and the community teams, and I'll just give you a couple examples that we'll walk through. One is the area where I work, which is the Activate Fox Cities. This was a program locally that implemented off a national program called Activate America. And then Laura will talk about a program that she did in Barron County in just a moment. So when this is just a case example, but when we selected team members to participate, we looked at who would most likely be long-term partners and who would come to the table and commit to that year-long process. And we chose the YMCA. We had a lead clinic professional, physician from the Fox Valley Medical Center. Myself, we have two large healthcare systems, regional healthcare systems in our community, Affinity and ThetaCare, and they sent representation to be a part of this. Thriving Financial is an insurance company, a Fortune 200, and they've done a lot of employee wellness, health promotion for a long time, and had a lot of real insight into the work setting. Menasha Corporation, they provided their corporate communications person to this effort, and she was very good at helping us craft our messaging and with our grant writing. And then we had an outstanding school health nurse from a district within the area as well. Well, if you know Wisconsin, you know we love the Packers, and you also know that we share the reputation of loving our cheese and brats and high-fat foods, and that's certainly true, and so we wanted to do something about that. And so what our team chose to do was to look at how do we really increase physical activity in our community, especially for the sedentary, while at the same time not duplicating efforts that are already going on in our community in support of those. So we came up looking at the evidence-based programming under physical activity, and we came up with a project that we felt we could get our arms around within that year's time, implementing appointed decision prompts. And so all the parking structures, all the high-rise buildings in our community, we mounted display boards, which then we can turn out different messaging every month. It's brought awareness to the activity, and it's also prompted many other partnerships which had led to other community interventions in our community. These are just examples of some of the posters that we have implemented. These come directly from CDC, so there's no copyright. You probably have seen these. But we did a post-test on this, and we showed a significant increase in physical activity in our stairways as a result of this initiative. So I know we'll leave a little time for questions, but I'm going to invite Laura to come up and go through an example of her community as well that was very successful.
Thanks, Kurt. I am from Northwest Wisconsin. It's about 2 hours northwest of Minneapolis-St. Paul. If that puts it into perspective, it's a real rural county. We have about 45,000 people total within a 90-square-mile county. And I'm going to give you a little bit of background on our coalition and our community team to show you how far we came by going through this program, because I think that's very important. Our coalition actually started in 1989, and it was the effect of one of our municipalities being featured on The Tonight Show from having the highest per capita teen pregnancy rate in the nation. Not exactly where you want to be featured on TV, right? Our public health messaging there. I was not part of the coalition then. So people got together and said, we need to do something about this. They started working together, and the coalition was born. In the late 1990s, I was told by a public health manager at the time, Laura, you need to start going to these meetings. I'm like, okay. I was a staff public health nurse. I'm doing prenatals and postpartums. We do everything. I was doing STIs, infectious disease investigations. Lead was my area of expertise, not coalition. So started attending those, and what I found there was it was a great time. We sat around. We had coffee. We had cookies. We shared what each other were doing. You know, if someone needed a little help, we might help each other out. Periodically, we would find funding from different sources, and we would do a little project, maybe a speaker in the schools, or just lots of little feel-good activities. There was no thought that went into this, and the leadership of our coalition consisted of the person who had been attending probably the most regularly and who couldn't say no. I'm sorry to say I was chair for quite a few years there. So when the Healthy Wisconsin Leadership Institute came about, it was a huge opportunity for us. We jumped on it. At that time, methamphetamine was a huge issue in western Wisconsin. The ingredients were sold over the counter in most drugstores, and we had a lot of labs with environmental, child protection, law enforcement, all kinds of impacts on our county. So that's actually why we chose methamphetamine. There really was not a lot of thought that went into that either, except that was kind of the hot topic at the time. Our team consisted of a variety of people. It was about half current coalition members and about half the people we recruited. And I'm going to point out a couple of people. Number one on the list was Donna Cortez. She's an elected official, and she has some influence over funding in our county. And she happened to be a retired marriage and family counselor, and she was a key person to our initiative. Another person was from Marshfield Clinic Center for Community Outreach, and they provided us with ongoing technical assistance after the program had been completed. So some of the things that we made a very conscious effort to do, we brought all the information back to the full coalition. So if there was a team building exercise, we did our colors, we did personality tests, all of that stuff we brought back and did it as a whole coalition. We did all of our leadership activities as a whole coalition. We really made an effort to bring everything back. All of the research-based information, all of the models, everything came back. About half our meetings were set going over what we were covering in the Leadership Institute, and about half were talking about what we were going to do in the future. So it really provided a common framework and a common vision and strategic plan for our coalition, which was huge. The program that we implemented through this process, because you do have to be working through a process, we implemented a family-based educational program called Strengthening Families Program 10 to 14. It's an evidence-based program, and we were very conscious about making it sustainable. So we, our UW Extension provided the instructors, and we also worked with our behavioral health, and we received funding through the state, which is ongoing through today. We offer this program in our county still today. It's not directed by the coalition at all. We may help periodically with the program, but it is totally sustained in other groups. So some of the funding outcomes, it was very important for our county leadership to recognize the value in the coalition, and I think that was key. Through that, our county administrator said, you know, there are some real opportunities here for funding. And so what we did is part of my staff time was directed only towards the coalition. So it was nice to have a chunk of time to be able to work on that. And so we started working on data collection. We made a strategic plan. We created logic models. We did the five whys. We did all kinds of things. And what we found was methamphetamine was not our problem. Alcohol was. It was a huge issue for us. And so our funding was increased dramatically, as you can see. We now have, three major grants. And we also work with community partners. A couple of things that are up there, the Comprehensive Alcohol Reduction Grant, that is a law enforcement grant. We went from one police department working on alcohol reduction to all six police departments now are. And we actually assist them by writing the grant, and they administer the money then. So we provide that for them. Another one, we just got a, actually it's not on here because it's so new, we just wrote funding through the coalition for our sexual assault response, and now we have funding for a sexual response advocate as well. So those are some of the things. And we also work on healthy eating and physical activity is one of our major grants, and then two of our major grants are on substance abuse prevention in youth. There's more information on the website.